is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Digney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Digney.
Brad and Vicky, episode 4, Marriage Was Designed to Expose Us and to Help Us Grow. When most people think about marriage, they think about dreams, they think about hopes, they think about expectations and wonderful moments, but most people would not think of, I'm going to be exposed, revealed. Things about me will be pushed to the surface, and this will be an excellent opportunity to grow. You're listening to Thrive, and I'm Pastor Brad Bigney with my wife, Vicky. And we're talking about what would take your marriage from barely alive to beginning to thrive. But so often the starting point is to realize that marriage was designed for more than what we actually think, and often for something totally different than what we actually think. But when you turn to God's Word, and I hope you've been hearing that in the show over and over and over, it is not just Brad and Vicky can give you a few tips and techniques that'll straighten out your marriage. We can give you a testimony of what God has done, and I hope give you some hope in real time, but it is God's Word and God's Spirit and the people of God around us that have helped Brad and Vicky to get to where we are. And so here's something we want you to get a hold of today that we're going to try to unpack a little more. Marriage was designed to expose us and help us grow spiritually to become more like Christ. And so in a very real way, marriage is not a stopping point. Too often in our culture, it's all about the wedding. We are moving towards the wedding, and here's the save the date card, and then here's the wedding, and there's the honeymoon, and there's all the preparations, but no one thinks hardly at all about, and when you get home from the honeymoon and unpack, now what? That's the starting point for real work that is going to be required to become more like Christ. And so let me ask you, Vicky, did this come as a shock to you? What else would you say to the wife out there who is experiencing some shock that I didn't really come into this thinking I was going to be exposed, rattled, shattered, and going to need to grow?
I didn't think, kind of as you said earlier, I didn't really think I'd have to work at our marriage. I thought it would just be great and I'd be so happy. And once when that didn't happen, then we really did have to start working on our marriage. There's a guy in our small group and he has this saying, God, you show me the way and I'll do the work. And he's not kidding about that work part. And it's really true of our marriage because God will show you the way. And once again, as believers, we have to keep coming back to God's blueprint. Thank goodness we have the Bible that does give us instruction, that does give us help. But that has to be our foundation. But it does take work. And to encourage you, the older we've gotten, the longer we've been married, we still get on different pages and we get our wires crossed. But to encourage you, it doesn't happen as often, and we don't stay in a bad place as long. Right. We much more quickly have tools to help us along the way.
What do you think is some of the biggest hindrance or disconnect when you hear marriage and you hear work? Why do you think people are so put off with that? And how do you think perhaps even some people might think, well, if you're in love, it shouldn't be work. It should just be there. That's the whole point. If it's a bunch of work, you didn't marry the right person. What would you say back to someone who's thinking that way? Marriage and work, those two words don't go together.
Right. I think in my mind, I thought based on perhaps our culture, my own sinful flesh, just, wow, you marry the right person. You do the hard work of choosing the right person. This is just going to work. It's all going to flow. We're not going to get upset with each other. It's just going to be so glorious. In our culture, it's almost just like, you'll have these feelings. It'll be wonderful. We'll just move on.
So that's some of it right there.
Right.
Would you not agree?
Definitely.
Too often, most people believe that marriage is comprised of being in love, and that is a feeling, and they do not think in terms of feelings have anything to do with work. It's either there or it's not.
Right. It and can don't come and go.
Don't hear what we're not saying. Yes, thank God for glorious feelings in marriage, but marriage is comprised of far more than feelings, and that's what people don't understand. I like what you said, that guy in our small group. God, you show me the way, and I'll do the work. And he wasn't kidding about that work. And it's true in marriage. God shows us the way in his word. But it is work. You will have to put forth effort if you want to have the kind of marriage I believe most of you listening actually want. And then feelings follow.
Right.
People don't realize you can obey your way into a glorious feeling far sooner than you can feel your way into obedience or a glorious marriage or anything in life. Most good things in life require work, even
Absolutely.
If it's good.
Right. And I think, too, our culture is so based on feeling like once my feelings are gone, then I'm out of here.
Yeah.
You know, you hear it with country songs, you hear it with movies. This feels so good. That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
And as soon as it doesn't, I'm out of here. And to be honest, if that's what we would have based our marriage on, we would be divorced right now.
We'd be done.
There's no doubt in my mind.
Because the feelings were over. She looked at me and said, I don't love you anymore. And so if we had bought into our culture, then we would have said, well, before this gets any uglier, because we weren't hitting each other and using profanity. I wasn't out of control anger as a guy. Sometimes guys are doing that. I had just quietly shifted towards more work. And ours was a marriage of neglect.
Right.
It wasn't even so much going at each other in ugly, hurtful ways. We would have the same arguments over and over, but it wasn't usually hurtful and didn't get personal. Ours died from neglect. I just abandoned it because I said, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what it is that she's wanting.
Mm-hmm.
So we're both thankful we did not believe the lie that marriage is only about a feeling. And if the feeling isn't there, get out.
And I'm really
no hope for this.
Grateful that our marriage was based on a commitment before a holy God and to each other, because otherwise we would have been out of there. And I think the fact that we stayed and chose to work through things, which once again, it wasn't hard. It was grueling.
Yes.
It was, I mean, I cried so much. You know, I
saw
so much about myself that I knew I need to work on some areas. And I think once again, I know it perhaps is unusual to people, but I had never, like my parents were wonderful parents. They did correct me. But I think in my mind, I just think I'm a rule follower. You know, go by the rules. Your teachers love you. Your parents love you. It goes well for you. So that was kind of my growing up. Well, then when I never really had many people cross me or tell me things about me that were
so
not
as
helpful.
I would correct you say, hey,
And well, I remember being probably maybe 4 or 5, and my parents, I don't know what had happened. I just remember they had told me something that I didn't like, and I went in my room, shut my door. Maybe I got in a spanking. I don't remember what had happened. And I just thought, I will make them pay so they never want to do this again. And I cried and screamed, and I would get the worst headache. I mean, this went on for like 2 or 3 hours. Like, you know, looking back, they probably should have come.
I will punish them.
Right, I will punish them. Yeah. So I had not had much correction in my life. And once again, when you get married, this is your closest earthly relationship. And so no big surprise that there's going to need to be some changes, but that had never happened to me before. So this was a new dawning on
for
me.
Someone
that I'm not
close
perfect.
To you to speak to you about you in any way
like
other
it.
Than totally flattering. It's like, whoa, shocking.
Right.
And I don't receive this.
I will pout, I will pull away, but this is not
But I want
ever
you to hear this
again.
Since we started with feelings. Oh, it's been hard work, but do you feel something for me now?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And same, so I have feelings for Vicky. I kid you not. Not just, well, praise God, there's some feelings now because they put in some hard work. I have feelings for Vicky on a level I never thought possible, on a level that I've never experienced. I've never had a best friend. I've already revealed enough about me that I did not grow up having huge, tight relationships. There are feelings that I have for Vicky, and I've experienced a level of intimacy. And right now I'm talking about something way beyond sex, physical sex in a marriage. I'm talking about intimacy and a relationship and friendship that I'd never tasted before. So I want you to hear that if you're listening. the hard work that we did led to a level of feelings and relationship like we never thought possible. So it's work, but it's worth it. And these two things do go together.
And for those of you that are single, please don't hear what we're not saying. Marriage, it can be hard work and most likely will be hard work, but it's so worth it. So don't be afraid to think, okay, I'm going to make a commitment to someone. If this is so hard, then I just want no part of it.
Yeah.
Just like Brad said, like, it is so wonderful to have a spouse that's now a team. We are best friends. We share ups, we share downs, we've shared losses of parents, we shared the death of a child. I mean, it is so wonderful being that known so intimately by someone and able to go through life with them as you're doing your daily routines.
Yeah. So, you know, just like anything, it's easy to see the glory side and what you want and not realize the work. People watch someone become, quote, a successful athlete or, quote, all of a sudden they have this successful business. But if you dig in, you will always discover a bunch of hard work. Probably went bankrupt a couple times before that business thrived. And what an athlete goes through in training and sacrifices to be that skilled at what they do, marriage is no different. It's phenomenal and it's hard work and it's worth it because God wanted us to grow as human beings and to grow to become more like Christ. You're listening to Thrive. And I'm your host, Pastor Brad Bigney, with my dear wife, Vicki. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little more about two things that you also might not have thought through carefully enough. Holiness and happiness, both are at play in a marriage.
And we'll be back with more from Pastor Brad Bigney and Mrs. Brad Bigney. That would be Vicki in just a moment as they continue to talk about the hard work of marriage while keeping our eyes on God's purposes. And it reminds me of something I want to recommend to you right now, a resource in the Fortis Store at FortisInstitute.org. It's by Dr. Jerry Bridges, The Discipline of Grace. This book is powerful. And what's powerful about it is Dr. Bridges shows us that growth, whether in marriage or any area of life, requires both our commitment and God's grace. Just like Brad and Vicki are talking about, it's not about trying harder in our own strength, but about understanding how God's grace works alongside our daily choices. And what strikes me both about this book and about what Brad and Vicki are teaching today is how they balance truth with grace. They're showing us that yes, marriage takes work, but it's work empowered by God's grace. That's exactly the kind of biblical wisdom we're committed to sharing right here at Fortis Institute. And speaking of resources that balance truth and grace, have you discovered the Fortis Plus app yet? I tell you about it every week. I hope you've discovered it. But if not, if you're a first-time listener, which you very well may be, picture having access to teaching like this every single day. And the best part, it's absolutely free. Right now, Fortis Plus is loaded with hundreds of hours of audio and video content. Absolutely free. And we just continue to add to it day after day after day after day. Listen, when Brad and Vicki talk about marriage being hard work but worth it, they're speaking from experience. And at Fortis Institute, we believe that these are conversations the church needs right now. Not just surface level advice, but deep biblical wisdom about how to truly thrive in marriage and family life. And you're hearing from two people who have done it. They have gone through the trenches, elbow to elbow, and have done this and are continuing to do it day after day. That's why I want to ask you to consider joining us. If you're already faithfully giving to your local church and you're not strapped by any kind of unmanaged debt, then would you pray about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner and joining us in this mission here at Fortis Institute? Because your support helps us to continue bringing you teaching that goes beyond the surface to the heart of what matters. Find out more about what it would look like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now at FortisInstitute.org. And now let's get back to Pastor Brad and Vicki. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
All right, you're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Pastor Brad Bigney, with my wife, Vicki, helping us a little bit to think through more What was marriage actually designed to do? You're going to be frustrated if you keep trying to get something to do what it wasn't designed to do. Marriage had a real purpose, and it is really good. But if you don't understand God's design, and it's only your design or blueprint that you picked up from the culture and from movies and from best-selling books, and you keep laying that cultural blueprint on top of your marriage and wondering what's wrong, you will stay frustrated. So when you look to God's word, you see it was designed to expose us, show you in ways you've never seen you, the deficiencies, and then to grow you to be an even better version of you, but even more than that, less of you and more of Jesus. In a real sense, the way I would say it is marriage was designed to make us holy more than to make us happy. So Vicki, how would you comment on that? In what ways have you seen both holiness and happiness play out for you in our marriage?
First of all, I think it's like, okay, I can either be holy or I can be happy. I think I just want to take the happy, to be honest. So that's kind of my natural fleshly reaction.
So you think either or, both aren't going to happen. Because we tend to think holiness is this dreary, hard, stoic, cold thing.
Who wants that?
That has nothing to do with happiness.
But I think when we actually go back to the theology of who God is and how he made us, he designed us, he knows how he worked best. And so we know that we are entrusting ourselves into a wise, loving, holy God that died for us. He's in this with us, and he is about becoming less like Vicki Bigney and more like Jesus Christ. And there's really nothing I found. Marriage was a fast track to sanctification in
Same
some
here.
Ways, as we responded correctly. Now, as we weren't responding correctly,
but
I think we really both did want to respond correctly.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. I think we both grew up in the kind of churches that did actually focus on spiritual growth.
Right.
But if we're not careful, I think especially here in America, even more than in some other parts of the world, the American mindset about growing, especially spiritual growth, is book oriented. Mm-hmm. You go through a book. You know, you meet with another older woman and she takes a group of ladies through a book. And granted, there's good there.
Right.
I meet with a group of guys and we go through a book. I go to a class and they teach me. And we just do not have as much as we should in mind. No. I love the things I've learned from books, but it is life. In the trenches of life and in the trenches of real marriage is where I've grown more than anywhere else. I've been fond of saying it as I go and teach conferences. I love to read books. I think I've read 48 books this year. And I think I learn, I hope I grow, but it's not even a close second to how much God has used our marriage to change me. Mm-hmm. It has changed me more than anything else in this world.
Changes that we both needed. I would echo that also.
Hardest thing I've ever done, best thing I've ever done. Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely not the same and continue to not be the same.
Right.
That's what growth is about. But if you think about it, you can't even begin to grow until you first know that you need to.
Exactly.
We tend to come into marriage thinking, I've arrived. Mm-hmm. Good to go.
And I do think, to not overwhelm you, I just think a way to be on the fast track to becoming more like Christ is when he shows you just one area. Say, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, and we haven't really talked, I know you've talked about it in earlier shows, but we need the Holy Spirit. We can't do this on our own. My love and my ability to persevere in hard times is very shallow.
So give me an example of what you mean when God shows you something. Say, all right, God.
Right.
I want to work on this. What's an example
I think,
of something that he showed you in our marriage? He exposed you and he showed you and you thought,
Right. Well, I think, I'll just give a more current illustration was just fear. I mean, we have 5 kids, so I'm constantly thinking, and what's this one doing? And how's that one doing? And what if this happens?
Mm-hmm.
So I think just in my mind, I have to really come to the realization of, is God in this with me and how can he help me?
Yeah. And as a mother, that's pretty common, isn't it?
Right.
That you love them so much, if you're not careful, that can be the thing you just live in constant fear of.
Absolutely.
But you're saying that God's gotten your attention on that? He's found ways to reveal that to you?
Right. And when he does, I have to say, you know what, God, you're right. I'm living and walking in fear, and I'm kind of functioning as an atheist, as if you're not there and you don't have a good plan for my kids and you love them more than I do. So I think the way we grow is when God points out lovingly an area, then we're submissive and say, okay, God.
So in the context of real life, he points out an area. Step one is you own it and you say, you're right. Mm-hmm. But then what did you do next to work on that area?
Right, as far as how to...
Yeah.
Well, I think just maybe even just claim a promise, you know, in God's word. Definitely go to that.
Didn't you share with me the other day, you went to Isaiah 7?
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes.
So you began to work on this.
Right.
So God's spirit convicted you.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't fight him on it. You said, God, you're right.
Right.
And what did you do next that was helpful?
Right. Well, I was really struggling with the situation of how this is out from under my control. I so want to control this area. I want to take ownership. I want to change it. I want to make sure it goes my way.
Yeah.
And so I just cried out and said, God, I need your help. Like I am almost, I'm just undone. Help me. Please speak to me through your word as I meet with you. And there I was in this very strange passage, Isaiah 7, just opening
up. As you turned to his word.
Right. It was my regular
as
Bible.
As you cried out to him, you were thinking, he's likely to answer my prayer through his word.
Right. And then when I did, it was like, I mean, I know God doesn't speak audibly to us or he can, he did not.
Did you randomly turn there to Isaiah 7?
No, so I go through a regular.
Part of a reading plan?
Right, I just had my bookmark there. Otherwise, I never would have turned to Isaiah 7. But it talked about taking God at his word and that God is the one that's in control and that these people that are against you are smoking brands and God is. But you have to be still, stop talking, and trust that God is going to come through.
There was a reference in the verse, be still, stop talking.
Yes, be quiet is what it said. So I was just like, okay, God, that's for me. Like, I have to put this into practice. This isn't just, I serve a mighty God. He's allowed me to see this.
Mm-hmm.
He can help me now. I'm giving this area to him.
And so something that was already in place in your life served you in that moment. You already had the habit of Bible reading.
Mm-hmm.
And so as God, and I hope you hear that, too often I think Christians can be guilty of, I've got a hard situation, I'm crying out to God, and something just supernatural weird is going to happen next that's going to lead the way. We've already touched on it. Be plugged into a good local church where you're hearing preaching and you're connecting with, and then form the habit of, I just regularly turn to God's word. Daily would be a great idea where I'm feeding on his word, and he's a big God and he can see that what you were about to read that day without you having to go looking for it meets you where you are.
And he did.
And related to fear with the kids.
And he just gave me such hope. I mean, my circumstances hadn't changed, but I had courage to meet those circumstances.
And so what about in our marriage? How have you seen these two things, happiness and holiness, play off each other? Have you pushed past that initial thought, these two things have nothing to do with each other? I'm either going to be happy or I'm going to be holy.
Right.
How have you seen both holiness and happiness take place in your life through our marriage?
Well, I think as I've learned to humble myself and, you know, be willing to even talk. I think before I didn't know how to, Brad, he speaks for a living, you know, so he can talk a mile a minute. He would talk around circles to me. So I had to come and think, okay, Lord, I'm willing to even... I didn't even want to talk to him. I would just go away. I want to go away and pout. So even just the fact that I had to humble myself and think, let's at least talk through this and help me to be willing to see things about myself that I hadn't seen
before. So a starting point, which was new and hard for you, was be willing to sit down with your spouse and let's talk it through. Even though it's unpleasant, I don't even like the thought that I'm deficient, that I'm not, something needs to change.
Right.
And the same was true with me. Those of you listening, if it's not all that you wish it was or had hoped it would be, it will not just get better on its own. Could you agree with that, Vicki?
Definitely.
Like, we have had to talk, and we still do.
Yeah.
So our marriage does not continue to be something that we would say, it's not perfect, but it's thriving. That is because we continue to talk, and we continue to be willing to humble ourselves and allow the conversation to include things that are like, this isn't fun, because Vicki will say to me, hey, can I get your help on something? And she'll still bring me something about me that isn't all that it should be. If that's new for you, or you think, I'm not interested in that at all, it is not likely you'll get to a place.
That's just not realistic in marriage.
That you'll, God, you lead the way. Show me the way and I'll do the work. And some of that work is being willing to see yourself in a new light in ways that you perhaps had never seen yourself, to where you say, God, I'm ready to grow. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to grow.
And what you show me, I'm willing to work on.
Yeah. You show me and I'll work on it. We're talking about how your marriage could just do more than just survive, but how it could thrive. And that means you've got to be willing to have God, and God often loves to use someone close to you to be the mouthpiece that says it, show you things about you that you had not seen, and then you be willing to say, I want to grow. Here we go. I want to grow. Help me, God.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.